Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, guys. It's America. We're back at In the Open. I have two guests with me. I have Emily, who's been with us before on the podcast, and we have a new person here named Whitney. So I'm so glad you guys are spending the afternoon with me. Say hello, please.
Hey, everyone.
Hi.
So, Whit, you're new to us at MHA, and you're new to the podcast. So introduce yourself a little.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. I'm the newbie. I am the marketing and outreach manager here at MHA. Like many of us listening to this podcast or that work at MHA, I've faced my own mental health challenges, mainly surrounding anxiety, and I love talking about it.
That's good.
So I'm here to talk about it a little bit today.
We're going to take advantage of that willingness to share. And then, remind everybody about what you do here.
So I work in peer advocacy supports and services at MHA. Similar to Whitney, and like she mentioned, a lot of us here, I deal with anxiety and depression.
Thank you, guys. So today I wanted to chat with you guys about how to get out of a funk. Because I think a lot of us struggle with that, but we don't necessarily know what to do with those emotions that kind of trap us in that funk, and ultimately kind of helping the rest of us kind of figure out what does that mean, right? Because that looks very different for each person. So tell me from both of your perspectives a little bit about what it means when you're in a funk.
For me, I get almost like paralyzed. And I have a really hard time getting out and seeing friends, just like finding the motivation to do things that I normally like to do or that I'm expected to do, like things like grocery shopping, you know, getting out of the house on the weekends. And yeah, it almost becomes like a cycle of being unable to do that and just not really enjoying things, just being really apathetic.
But isn't that the same as what depression is?
It's similar. Okay. I think the difference for me is that I'm more like cognizant of it and I am like aware of what I'm doing and just make excuses for myself about not getting out of it. And I'm constantly like, oh, like I'm not feeling well, so I'm going to reschedule this dinner. And like I know what I'm doing. I know that getting up and going out and seeing friends will make me feel better, but I don't do it.
Okay. All right. What about you, Whitney?
Mine's a little bit different. I love the word funk because it's like hard to describe what's going on. I'm always just like, I feel off. I feel weird. I don't feel like myself. I'm in a funk. So it's a good word to kind of grasp all of those kind of feelings that you just feel funky and weird or just off. I usually don't have the same, I mean, I might put off things and I definitely go into kind of avoidance mode or lack motivation that I normally have to get things done. But I usually just like try to ignore all of the feelings and just like go about the motions when I'm in a funk. So just keep plugging away and also kind of ignoring, like, I know I feel off, but I just get in this mindset that if I just keep going, something will change, hopefully.
So when you guys talk about feeling off, is it more emotional or is it more physical? Like, because when I feel that way, like, what I think happens is either I will feel very run down, like physically, like I don't have energy, you know, to actually go do all the things that I want to do. And it's my body's way of being like, it slaps me out of whatever's happening.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, slow down, you know? So that, for me, it's more physical than emotional, which then leads to the emotional part, like, oh, I shouldn't do all this other stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, is they're so interconnected, physical and emotional well-being. I think for me, it typically starts off more emotional, but I definitely notice it more when it's physical. I think the biggest thing that I notice when I'm in a funk is, so I deal with dissociation sometimes, and I'll notice, like, I feel like my body is, like, 2 inches above where it physically is. That's the best way I can describe it, is, like, I slightly feel like I'm floating and, like, disconnected from my body. And it comes down to just not feeling like myself, not feeling like my mind is all there where it should be.
I get hit with both. But when I'm in the middle of like a really bad anxiety episode, I usually can tell because of the physical symptoms. For me, when I'm just in a funk, which is different for me, right, is it's usually emotional, like I'm just feeling blah, I just feel kind of more sad than I usually do, or I just feel less motivated. But if I let it go for too long, that's when I can start to feel the physical symptoms. Like you said, America, I just feel sleepy, lethargic. I even get like aches and pains if I let it go for too long. Like I just, my body feels just tired all the time.
Yeah, because when you guys describe like the physical aspects of it, right, like the tiredness or whatever. What I want people to kind of think about is how to differentiate this funk from like depression or anxiety. Yeah. Because I think for many of us, we get into these places where we just don't feel like ourselves. And that's for the person to decide, right? Like whether you are more outgoing and you're, you know, not really going out with people, not communicating, or I know, Emily, you're a little bit more introverted, you know, so mm-hmm. it's normal for you not to really want right. to be out with people. But where do you find that line? Like, is it, oh, I've been feeling this way for like a week? Or is it, oh, wow, I've been feeling this way for a month? Because then if it was a month, I'd be like, yo, something right. else yeah. is going on. So how do you make that demarcation?
Yeah, I think it's a timeline thing. And I think it's also a severity thing. Like for me, if I'm like crying all the time, if I'm super down on myself and in like a really negative thinking patterns about myself, like if a friend cancels and I'm like, okay, they hate me and like I have no friends and start crying, that's like, okay, we're maybe moving more towards depression. If it's just like, okay, they canceled on me, I'm just gonna like stay in bed all night, like, okay, that's valid sometimes. Like, that's okay every once in a while. Okay. And I think it is. Like, if it goes on for a few days, a week, like, all right, if you can pick yourself back up, then that's fine. If it keeps going, then it's maybe time to look into something else.
Yeah, I think timeline plays a big role, severity of symptoms for me. One of the things I like to do when I kind of get in this funk, or my difference between like a funk and an anxiety episode, is that when I'm in a funk, I can do some pretty like quick changes to get out of it. So I know last year I was in a really bad spell of anxiety and I would try all my traditional like go for a walk, meet up with friends, journal about it, and it didn't help. But then, I mean, last week I was telling Emily I was in a funk and I did those things and I felt better. Like I felt some relief. Mm-hmm. So for me, it kind of comes with this first stage of like checking the box of doing my traditional things that I've learned that help me feel better. And if I do those things and I still don't feel well, that was like my trigger of like, hey, Whitney, let's like figure out what else this could be. And for me, it was anxiety.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that like exactly what you were just saying is something that comes with time and age, because like I do the same things now, but I know when I was in 10th grade first experiencing depression, I was like, oh, I'm in a funk for 7 months. That's normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, now looking back, like I wasn't even diagnosed at that time. It wasn't until I was in college that I was diagnosed. And now looking back, I'm like, oh my God, like that was totally depression. That was not like a very casual funk.
Yeah. And that's why it took me so long to see a therapist in the first place or to seek help elsewhere, because I was like, this is normal. I'm in a funk. Mm-hmm. I can't just handle what life's throwing at me and it will get better.
Yeah.
And it didn't. And like, it took me a year of sitting in that really sucky place and being like, wait, this isn't a funk. So I think right. timeline plays a big role in that, because yeah. it's like, if you're listening to this and you're like, I've been feeling off for a week. Okay. Maybe like you're experiencing a funk. If you're listening to this and you've been dealing with this for like months on months, and you've tried to get out of it, you might be dealing with something different.
One of the things I find interesting what you guys are talking about is also this idea that it may be situational, right? Because for many of us, we don't just get into a funk out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Something kind of leads us down that path. Mm-hmm. So whether it's like you're super stressed at school or work, or maybe your relationships with like your, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, your family, whatever's like stressing you out. And you're just like, dude, like your body kind of shuts down mm-hmm. and emotionally you're kind of trying, I guess, to protect yourself in a way, because that's what happens to me. Mm-hmm. My brain is overloaded with emotion, even though I can't articulate the feelings that I have, right?
Right.
And then I just feel like I can't do anything else.
System
and
I'm just shutting down.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like rebooting and it's just like forever.
Right.
So this situational aspect of like this funk that we're describing, I think is critical when you think about a timeline. So looking at what's going on in your life, mm-hmm. is it something that kind of demonstrates, okay, yeah, this is kind of expected. You know, you're having a difficult time doing X thing, dealing with X thing. X person.
Right.
But then when you extend it, I think it's important to think about how long has this been going on? And that's part of the process and kind of thinking through and what you're saying, like sitting in those feelings, which can be really hard to then determine is like, what if this is not just a funk? Right. So what do you guys do to get out of a funk? Like once you know you've identified, yeah, this is definitely the place. I'm in total funkiness. Like, what am I going to do to get out of it? What do you guys do normally?
So Whitney and I have talked about this before, and we're pretty different with this. For me, it comes down to doing things even though I don't want to do them, because I will totally just like shut down and isolate myself and wait for the funk to pass before I do anything. But then it never passes because I need to do something to kind of get out of that. So for me, it's baby steps, which feel huge at the time, but just, you know, like getting up and putting bread in the toaster for breakfast or making plans with a friend. And like, I don't have to go right then, but like just putting something on my calendar for a few days from now feels like a big deal at the time, like texting a friend, mm-hmm. but just doing those little things that kind of pull me out of my own little like cave of my bedroom and my like mind.
I love that recommendation because I feel like when I'm in a funk, it because of my anxiety, I think I just start like it starts piling up and I'm like, I can't do it. I'm mm-hmm. just gonna shut down. Like I'm over it. So I think those little steps are really helpful, like just to take it one bite at a time. Mm-hmm. For me, I think I mentioned this earlier, I go kind of into autopilot when I'm in a funk. And so I don't like turn away and like hide in my own space, but I just like keep going, keep going, keep going. And so when I'm in a funk, I actually have to tell myself to like stop, slow down, let's take evaluation of like all the different aspects that are going on right now. Where can I pull back? Where am I feeling like I don't like doing things like halfway? So I think that will sometimes put me in a funk. Like, where can I reevaluate my priorities? And then I have to verbally process it. So like Emily heard me like talking about it last week, because I have to talk about it out loud. For me, that helps so much. And there's times when like I'm not at that place yet, so I turn to a journal and just like do a brain dump of everything that's like weighing heavy on me. So I either talk out loud or do a brain dump. And then if none of that works, I go for a walk, because usually that will get me to a place that I'm ready to like talk or mm-hmm. process my feelings.
One of the things that I do, because I hate journaling, and sometimes I
kind of do too, but it like helps me.
It definitely helps. But when I'm not ready to talk about it with someone else, I'll just pretend I'm having a conversation with someone, and it helps so much. And it sounds so weird. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'll just like sit in my room and like pretend I'm on the phone with someone. And it's almost like, I feel like my brain at times like works too fast, where like I'm having like a dialogue in my head, but it's overlapping each other. And just like speaking out loud, I feel like is so helpful, because it slows me down. It like actually makes me process my thoughts versus getting halfway through a thought and then jumping to something else. So I'm a huge supporter of like getting something like either on paper or out loud, just like out of your own head.
I find that I talk to myself a lot. They say weird things about people who talk to themselves. But,
then we're all weird.
Yeah. Like I have to do it. For me, it's about finding direction. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll be like, America, stop it. Like, what are you doing right now? You know, and it has to do something with like hearing your voice. And I think it kind of feels like it's somebody else. Like, I get completely what you're saying. Sometimes when I'm at home and, you know, my partner's like, are you talking to me? It's like, no, man, just talking to myself. Don't worry about it. And it helps because it kind of validates what you are hearing in your head, mm-hmm. you know, but there is also this aspect that you have a lot of negative self-talk and you're less likely to voice the negative self-talk. It's all in our head.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh yeah. So true.
Yeah. And you're not going to be like, you suck, so, yeah. you know, right. like, no. You're not going to say that out loud. You say it in your head, but having somebody tell you, yo, like, snap out of it. You're dealing with this because of, you know, the fight you got into yesterday or the assignment you have. Mm-hmm. That kind of helps in terms of processing. So I was thinking about other ways that people could maybe get out of the funk, right? Because maybe journaling isn't the thing. Maybe talking to yourself isn't the thing, right?
Whatever.
Yeah.
You can't sit with us.
I think it's an important thing to think about, like, going outside too, right? Mm-hmm. Even, like, the baby steps aspect of this, I think, is critical for mm-hmm. people to remember because it doesn't mean, like, you're going to go out and change the situation that you're living in at the moment. Maybe it's out of your control,
right?
But it is about you being able to actively think about what is one small thing I can do. For me, I always go back to like physically taking a shower. Mm-hmm. Like when I feel like I'm just out of it, it's like, take a shower right now. Take a shower, stop what you're doing and go. And that helps me. I don't know, maybe refreshes my brain. I don't know what it does, mm-hmm. you know.
Cleanses your brain.
Yeah, you know, it's like some physical aspect of the water and all that.
Yeah.
You know, some people may meditate. I have not tried meditation full on. I don't think I could make my brain slow down to do that. But I think that's something else that people could try.
I think we've talked a lot about this here at MHA, but coloring, like just kind of mm-hmm. giving yourself some space to just turn your brain off. And I know that when I'm in a funk, I'm quick to turn to things that don't serve me. So like I'll grab my phone and because I feel off and don't want to do what I have to do. And I'll just scroll and scroll and scroll through Instagram. Mm-hmm. And so it's like
Snap, or Pinterest
or Facebook or like even like YouTube videos, you know, and it just like leaves me sitting in this like pile of funkiness and I like get done and I'm like, I feel like 10 times worse. Yeah. So I feel like it's learning to like recognize when you're in that space. It's like not easy. I still struggle with it every time I'm in this space. But once I do, like I'm getting better at like the time that I'm in it is shorter because then I know color, go for a walk, exercise, take a shower, have a good cry. Like even that is like feels so good for me. It's like when I'm in a funk, I like to have like a tiny little like pity party with myself and just like ball it out and then like, okay, I can move forward.
Yeah. That's important too, to give yourself time to feel your feelings.
Yucky. Yeah. Be okay with feeling yucky.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest things for me is I'm quick to go to big solutions. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like, I'm going to go for a run the next time I don't feel good. And then like, I'm never going to do that. And one of the most helpful things a therapist has ever said to me is like, she was like, okay, like what's something you can do? And I said, go for a run. And she's like, are you going to do that? I was like, no, Laura, I'm not. And she was like, okay, so next time find your socks, find your sneakers, put your sneakers on. You don't have to go outside.
Set your bar low.
Just put your sneakers on. And once it really is that like once you do that first little movement, then it's like, okay, well, like I already have my shoes on. Like I might as well like go outside.
Right.
And then like, okay, I'm outside. I might as well start running. And it becomes just doing that first step really helps set the momentum.
I think that's a lot of people get stuck in trying to find this solution. Everything's going to be better if I do X.
The magic solution.
Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, if I just do X thing, then I'll be good. And the reality is that that's probably not going to be the case.
Right.
Because there's so many layers to the funkiness that we feel that if we don't take the time to really think about what has led us into this place, then we're not actually able to then process. Because that's the aspect, right, that is resonating here, that you have to be able to feel your feelings, which is hard. Mm-hmm. I'm not a feely person, so that's very hard for me. You know, being able to like name them and say, I feel like, for me, it'd be like crap, right? I feel like crap. Why? And it's like, I don't know. You know, and something too that I think is very helpful is once you find your space and you're like, okay, let me think through this, right? After you've taken these baby steps to be like, let's figure this out. And then you get to this other, like the next step is saying, What can you do to feel better? Do you want to feel better? That's, I think, a key question, because sometimes we want to feel that way for whatever reason, right? Whether it's we need to feel yucky so that we can feel our bad feelings in kind of a safe space, right? And then the other part is, let's do something. Let's figure this out. What am I going to do? The baby step, whether it's me putting on my shoes, you know, even talking to somebody. One of the things I wonder, though, for you guys, are there people in your lives that kind of tell you, hey, something's going on, you know? Is there something I can do? Do people notice when you're kind of getting into this place?
I think so, yeah. I think, you know, it's super dependent on the people that you have in your life. And I feel like for a long time, like, my parents were always great growing up. But then when I went to college, I didn't immediately have those close friends that knew my like normal tendencies and could pick up on stuff like that. But I think it depends on who you're surrounded by. And I would say now for sure, I definitely have people in my life that will be like, yeah, you're not acting like you. Like, what's up?
So the whole point of this is being honest, right?
Yeah.
If I'm going to be honest, I'm really good at lying about feeling okay. So I would say that, like, there was one time I was in such a bad funk and I live with my fiance and I got to the point where I was just like breaking down crying and he was like, I didn't know it was this bad. And like, it's because I'm so good at just like shoving. I'm not in a funk. So that's one of my goals for 2020 is getting to the place where I'm okay showing that so that people can kind of help pull me out of it. But I do have people in my life that I can just go to and say, like, I'm in a funk, and they can help me work through that. Like, the last time I was in a funk, I told my mom, like, I don't feel like myself. And she's like, well, no wonder X, Y, and Z is going on in your life. And it was like, oh, I kind of gave myself permission to like cut the negative self-talk. Like, you're not failing, Whitney. You're just in a tough spot. And this, you can like get through it. You know, I changed my negative self-talk. So I'm trying to get better at being more upfront and showing people that I'm not okay. Like, I'm always just like, oh, I'm sick, I can't go out. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to be like, I'm in the middle of a funk and I just want to like stay on my couch. And like, now that I've started expressing that, they're like, oh, do you want me to just come over? We can just like hang out on the couch. So I'm trying to be more open about that. But I would say, I'm being honest, I've gotten really good at hiding it. So it's better.
That's, I think, something I think we may have in common, where I function where I'm fully functional.
Yeah. Right?
And it's only when like I'm at the
last straw
that everything's like crumbling. And I get snappy. Like, I totally get snappy. And I can feel that. And I'm just like, you're gonna say something stupid. But it's, like, kind of inevitable.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, for me to not, like, get into that space, I'd have to, like, lock myself in a room and be like, nobody talk to me.
Seriously, though. I need space when I get to that point.
Yeah. I've learned, though, that if somebody were to say to me, like, are you okay? Or is something going on? Like, my fiancé says that, right? He'll be like, I'm not going to talk to you right now. And I'd be like, yeah, give me space. I need time to process. Mm-hmm. And it's usually through that, you know, outward conversation that I'm just like, what the hell is going on with you, dude? Mm-hmm. Like, calm down.
Yeah.
So
I feel that.
Yeah. It's, you know, this idea of like hiding, though, too, it resonates with me because of the aspect of being vulnerable, right? You have to remove that wall to enable others to know that you're not 100% perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's hard, right? Like, I can do it all, but can I really?
You know? Or I can do it all, but it's going to come at a cost.
Yeah.
But I don't like showing that cost to people. I want them to think like, she's got it all together. And that's like not possible.
Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest personal life changes I've gone through. And like, America, we talked about this on my last podcast episode about how like I totally hid everything I was going through for so long. And I feel like part of it was I just got to like a complete breaking point where I had to deal with it. And part of it was I had good friends that like genuinely cared about me. And I felt like I could be open about what I was dealing with. But it really is like coming to that point where you feel like you can be open about things and just, you know, like acknowledging the feelings that you have. And it's hard, we did a vision board activity at MHA last week. And one of the things that I cut out and put on it was in some magazine, it was like, no apologies for showing vulnerability.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I feel like that's something like I'm pretty open about what I deal with now, but I feel like it's something that you can always work on. Everyone can always work on being more just like their pure self.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think I needed to work on it. I was like, I'm vulnerable because post meltdown, I was so good at talking about what I had just gone through. But the thing that where I'm learning to be more vulnerable is with those close to me in my life, letting them know that I'm in the middle of it. So I was like, I'm so vulnerable. I don't need to work on this. Like, move over, Brené Brown. And it was because I, like, was really good at, like, oh, my gosh, let me tell you all about the struggle I just went through. But when I'm living it, I'm still covered in, like, shame and stigma and, like, no one can know what I'm really feeling. And then the negative self-talk kicks in and I'm yeah. like – everyone will think I can't handle life. So that's where I'm trying to be more vulnerable, is like when I'm in the middle of it. And it's not with like my social media followers or with random people
Her
on the
followers.
Internet. My followers. I have no
Her
followers.
Fans.
Hashtag dream. So it's like with the people that I can trust and are close to me, I need to get better at being vulnerable with them when I'm in the middle of
it's,
it.
It's definitely like the in the middle
in
of
the
it.
In the middle,
thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking about
it's
that
ugly
when you
and
said
messy.
When like you didn't want to go out and like your friends are like, oh, like I can just come over. Like I still have a hard time with that. Or like, I'd be like, oh, no, like, sorry, I don't feel well. I have to bail. And it's like, no, I'm actually in the middle of a panic attack. Yeah. But, like, even
or
though you work
funk.
At MHA,
yeah.
too, and, like, are totally cool with this, yeah, like, I still don't want to say it.
Well, I think we have touched on so many different aspects of being in a funk. But what I believe is really important about what you guys have said is vulnerability is key. Allowing people to know that you need help, whatever that may look like.
Right.
You define that. But finding ways to maybe reduce the level of funkiness from a high to a low,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Making little baby steps to get in, you know, down to a lower level of funkiness so that you can eventually like walk out of there. And then figuring out like maybe there are triggers that are happening in your life that are pushing you into this funk. So figuring out maybe setting better boundaries, setting priorities, and then figuring out what you can do that is tangible and that is not going to be overwhelming so that you
yeah.
don't just kind of spiral backwards.
I think for a long time I had this idea or concept that like life is just going to happen to me and like whatever happens, I just have to deal with it. And it might suck, but like I just have to do it. And once I kind of flipped
That's a
that.
Very American.
Yeah. And once I spent a long time talking about this in therapy. And once I realized like it doesn't have to be that way, like I have control over my own life and like my own situations and reactions. And like, yeah, sometimes stuff happens that I can't control, but there's always something I can do to kind of take my power back. I feel like that was a huge flip for me. And once I kind of embraced that, that's been a super helpful mindset to have.
If you're feeling off, just even acknowledging that you could be in a funk, that was like my first step to mm-hmm. feeling better. When I'm in a funk, it's like I just ignore it for a while and just saying like, I feel off, it will get better. Is huge. So, and that's a like a big step in all reality. It seems so simple, but just getting to that place where you can say, I'm not at my best right now, mm-hmm. but there are things I can do.
It won't
like,
be forever.
Yeah, it won't be forever. Yeah. And then just showing yourself grace through that process, I think is so important.
Definitely.
You guys are so positive. It makes you feel better. That's great. Show yourself grace. Have patience with yourself, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a key
We're
thing.
Bad at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You learn
Not
it.
My strength.
Yeah.
You learn it as you go, you know?
Yeah.
Like Teresa talks about like 20 years of therapy, you know?
Yeah. And she still talks about
yeah.
her struggles. Yeah.
So it's important to know that it's not going to be just a easy thing. You have to practice the skills you learn to be able to get better.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
Absolutely.
Anything else. So that brings us to a close, my dears. I'm so happy that we're able to like spend the afternoon with you guys. And for everybody out there, hopefully this was very helpful to you. You can always send us an email at podcast@mhanational.org. If you have any ideas about future episodes that you want us to talk about. So thank you, Whitney and Emily. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Keep fighting in the open, guys.